We are still reading in the book of the virtues of Quran in Sahih Muslim by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Today the topic is from a new chapter, and that is the virtues of reciting Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Now this surah, which is called Surah Al-Ikhlas, is a surah which is totally devoted to the topic of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said that Qul Huwallahu Ahad equals one third of the Quran. This is according to a true hadith narrated in Sahih Muslim by Abu Darda, one of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This companion, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is anyone of you unable to recite one third of the Quran in one night? They said, and how is that? How can one recite one third of the Quran? He said, to recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad equals reciting one third of the Quran. Now, of course, you notice from this hadith that when the companions hear the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam say that one of you can recite one third of the Quran, they were astonished. How could this be? Because they would not recite that much at one night, because when you recite Quran, you have to make sure that you recite it in a way where you understand the meanings. This is very important, and this is why we recite Quran, to understand what we recite and to act upon what we understand. This is the purpose for the recitation. Otherwise, what good would we be doing ourselves if we recite Quran and we don't understand it and we don't act upon it? Then it will be against us. It will be a proof against us on the Day of Judgment. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ, that Quran is either a proof for you, that is, if you recite it with understanding and acting upon it, or against you, that is, when you recite it without understanding or without acting upon it. And he also said, رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ, someone might be reciting Quran and Quran is cursing him. Why? Because he is only reciting it by tongue, but by his action he is totally going against it. And of course, this is not the proper behavior of someone who is faithful. When you recite the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this recitation should be a motive to you to act upon what you recite, knowing that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the absolute truth, and knowing that all the orders which are in Quran are from Allah and that you have to go by them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that reciting Qul Huwallahu Ahad equals reciting one third of the Quran. That equality is in reward. This does not mean that you, when you recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad three times, then you have actually recited the whole Quran, or you have received exactly the full reward of the same one who is reciting the whole Quran, because he has done more effort. But you will receive the reward in general, the full reward in general, but not the detail. Now, the fact that you will receive the reward of one third of reciting the Quran, because Quran includes three issues mainly. The first issue is the issue of Tawheed regarding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find in Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in so many verses about the fact of His oneness, that He is the only one to be worshipped, and also the fact that He has the most perfect attributes, which is part of His oneness. Also, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states about those who worship Him alone, what would their fate be in the hereafter, that is paradise, and what would their fate would be in this life, that is success and support from Allah. And you will find also the fate of those who associate partners to Allah in worship, or worship other than Allah one way or another, or attribute something deficient to Allah, or attribute some of the attributes of Allah to anyone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about their fate in the hereafter, and that is hellfire, and their fate in this life, and that is misery, and so on. So also you find in Quran the description of the place where the people who believe in His oneness will go, and that is paradise, and the description of the place which do not believe in His oneness, which is hellfire, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described those places in His book. So in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you find so many great deal of attention is paid to the issue of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other issue is the regarding the laws, that this is lawful and this is unlawful, do this and don't do that. And the third issue are the stories in Quran, the stories of the past nations, what they have done to their messengers and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with them as a result of their position to their messengers, and so on. So the first issue, which is the most important, is regarding the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states very clearly, by ordering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say by all means, to say by his tongue, to say by his heart, to say by his action, that Allah is one. Allah is one, and He is the only God. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one means that He is unique, He has no equal, He has no rival, He has no similitude. He is the creator, and everything else are creatures. He is the most perfect, and everything else can be deficient in one way or another. His life is the everlasting life. He has been there since ever, and He will be there forever. No one else has this attribute. His power is the most perfect. His might is the most perfect. His knowledge is the most perfect. No one else has those attributes. No messenger, no angel, no one else has any of those attributes. So when we say Allah is one, then we are admitting that He is the God, and that no one else deserves any share in Godhood with Him in any way. And He is the Lord, and He is the Master, and He is the Creator, and He is the Fashioner, and He is the Sustainer, and so on. So when we say Allah is one, then we are testifying to the fact that no one is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one has the right to be worshipped with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself with the description As-Samad, Allahu As-Samad. Now, the word As-Samad here can be explained in few words, actually. I know of no word in English which can by itself describe this word, As-Samad. As a matter of fact, when I looked into some of the famous translations, I also found that this word has been explained by many words in all of those translations of Quran. Because the word As-Samad means that he is the one who all the creatures turn to. He is the one who is turned to by everyone else. Everyone turns to him in their needs. This is one of the meaning of As-Samad. So no one has this description but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anyone is turned to by others for their needs, they call upon him to cure them, to give them success, to do anything to them which no one can do but Allah, then he is considered as a partner with Allah and as an associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is total disbelief. This is total rejection of faith. So this is one of the meanings of As-Samad, the fact that everything turns to him in their needs. Another meaning of As-Samad is that he is the most perfect, that there is no deficiency whatsoever in any of his attributes. There is no deficiency whatsoever in his knowledge. There is no deficiency whatsoever in his wisdom, in his power, in his mercy, in his justice. So the fact that he is As-Samad means that he is the most perfect in his attributes. So this word As-Samad can be explained by those two explanations, but there are no there is no specific word which can be used. Some translators use the word absolute, and some translators use the word eternal. I mean, they use both words. When they come to As-Samad, they say the absolute, the eternal. Now, those two words do not give the right meaning of As-Samad, actually. When we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the eternal, of course, we know that He is the first, no one is before Him, and He is the last, no one is after Him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained it in the true hadith, that He is the first, no one is before Him, and He is the last, no one is after Him. But this word is not the meaning of As-Samad. It is only a partial meaning, that he has the most perfect life, and this is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this does not give the full meaning of As-Samad. Also, when we say that he is the absolute, if we mean by the absolute that he is the most perfect in all of his attributes, then of course this is true. But if we mean by absolute that he cannot be described by any description, then this is totally wrong, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described himself, and he has made himself known to us in his book by telling us about himself. So we must know Allah in order for us to worship Him. How can we love Him if we don't know Him? How can we fear Him if we don't know Him? How can we trust him if we don't know him? How can we glorify him if we don't know him? As a matter of fact, the more one loves Allah, the more one knows Allah, the more he will love him, and the more he will fear him, and the more he will desire things from him alone and trust him alone. So the word absolute itself is not the right meaning, and the word eternal itself is not the right meaning. So the translation of As-Samad is the fact that he is the most perfect in all his attributes, and the fact that all creatures turn to him in their needs. We will finish, inshallah, this surah next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.